a giant thank you to Ramona for covering for me last week. I was working with a client in California. It's been in the news in terms of helping to get his new practice funded and launched, and just an amazing human being. And last Monday, we hit some snags, and I was on the phone till 1:30 in the morning, and I bought a plane ticket and just took off and spent till Thursday down there helping get all the pieces put together. And the good news is it worked, and everything's done, and everyone's happy. So it's very exciting. And so thank you all for your patience, and a big thanks to Ramona for taking that call on a last-minute notice. A little housekeeping. Next Tuesday night, I am on an airplane coming back. I'm going to be down in Texas speaking with Lee Steinberg at the Houston Realtor Convention and Home Builders Association meeting. It's going to be a very exciting event, flying down Monday. And it's going to be impossible for me to be here and be there. And Ramona's going to be in Maryland with our son and their child. I'm going there with her on Thursday. Spend a little time with our 24th grandchild. It's going to be very fun. Spend there, be there through Sunday, and then take off Monday. I'll take off Monday to go to Houston, and then I'll come back. So just mark on your calendars. The next Tuesday we will not have this class, but we will pick it up the following Tuesday. We'll send out lots of emails so everybody remembers that we won't be here. And when we come back the following week, we're going to be taking on systems thinking. It's a discipline and structure. And I do want to give you, before we get deep into tonight, just so it's clear in our minds, I want to give you a homework assignment. Because this is such an important piece. It's and I know you've read this before, but I'd like you to go back. It's in the book Today I Begin a New Life, page 130, House of Horrors. Because one of the great challenges we have in staying present in the now, which is our topic today, physical creation, one of the great challenges that we face is all the noise in our head that wants us to resist structure, resist authority, constantly obsessively think, resist scheduling and keeping those commitments, resisting when somebody else has an idea that disagrees with ours, all those fun things that we can get into. We want to make sure that that we hear those thoughts and start to manage them. Tonight we're going to talk about being present in the now so that we can get to the next level. Now, Ramona shared something with you last week that's important. 2 weeks ago, Catherine asked a question about, okay, what do I do to actually make things change? Appreciate all the great principles and practices, but what do I do to actually make a change? We're going to start there. We're going to pick this up tonight with her question. And Catherine, thank you so much for asking it. And also, what Ramona said is, I serve you best when I'm addressing your concerns. I love to share the principles. Happy to share them. But many of you have been through these principles a few times. And if we're having a challenge, then it really serves you and me for you to raise it and let me see what I can do to assist you. Because I know you're not the only one with a challenge. I know, Catherine, that there were many people on the phone who wanted to ask the same question. They just didn't know quite how to ask it. But they deeply appreciated the exchange we had and the information I was able to share because of the question. So I want you all to be pondering right now. So I want to share a couple things with you. But I want you to ponder, because what we talk about is truly self-improving. It's not just improving our circumstances. They improve as a consequence of us improving. We change, it changes. Sometimes we just want it to change. But it won't. It won't change unless we change. So we're going to deal with in these coaching sessions some tough issues at times, some frustration, some overwhelm. I've tried this and it didn't work, or how do I try it differently, or what can I do? My mission is your success. And if you're not experiencing it, I'm here to help you create those things that will help you create success. So be pondering. reflect on, for an example, situations that you're dealing with right now. Maybe it's a relationship issue. It might be a business building issue. It might be an employee-employer issue. Something that you want to work your way through, and have faith that when you ask a question, you'll solve issues for everybody else on the phone. They may not be dealing with the exact same thing, but it's close enough for them to see the application of these principles in addressing those challenges. We're going to turn tonight, first of all, to your assessments. This is a really key piece in the assessment. These are the thought processes that we have when we're actually doing a task. We're doing the task. What's happening? Where is our mind? And how healthy is it? This is where common sense comes from. Practical judgment. This tangible, physical place called physical creation. And the first measurement is called passionate. Is simply asking, we're doing this task, what is our mindset? Are we passionate, willing to suffer for this because we love it? We're excited to be doing it. Now, we may have clarity but not feel that way about some tasks. That's possible. But we're going to want to be doing things in our life, in our careers, whether that's as a mother with children or an attorney that's a partner in a law firm, whatever it might be, we're going to want to be doing things for which we feel passion. If this is balanced, you've got an enormous capacity to do it. If it's drifting into orange, just know that there is a habit here, a thinking, that's making the work of it hard and boring and mundane and burdensome. We've lost the passion, that which ignites our ideas, ignites our effort, this passion, this first measurement. So just look at your assessment and say, wow, where am I? Am I blue? Oh, that's good. Okay, you can pull on this. Green, really 98% good. And I go, well, is it possible that it's orange? Am I starting to feel drained? Just ask yourself, am I physically exhausted? Am I worn out? Have I been chopping with this same axe for so long that the blade's dull? Do I need to stop down, reevaluate, sharpen the blade, the saw? Just ask yourself those questions. It's a very practical question, because this is what's going to show up when I'm doing work, and we're all going to do work if we want to create our dreams. What's happening? Productive is, where is my focus? If this starts to turn orange, what we start to find is we start to get impatient. We just want it done. We want it done well. We want it done quickly. We want it done. And it's not just any old way. It's the best that it can be, but we just want it done. We can start to be impatient. Start to get a little insensitive, a little frustrated. And we say, well, what do I do about that, Dave? I say, well, part of the challenge with productive becoming impatient is that we may have an expectation, and we're bringing that expectation to tangible reality and holding it hostage to what we've seen in our mind. Remember, we've talked about that in our mind, we create things in nanoseconds. Just boom, they're there. In tangible reality, it takes time. And sometimes we want to shortcut the time but get the same result. Well, we can do that to a certain point, and then we're doing everything. Gosh, do I have to do everything myself to get it done right? Oh, can you imagine what I could accomplish and have to involve people? Oh. We can start to get irritated with people because we've lost touch, or we're losing touch with the fact that here in tangible reality, we get tasks done generally by involving people. And when we involve people, we involve all of their thought processes, all of their challenges, and we manage the project and process the best we can, with people being more important than the task, encouraging, uplifting, intrinsically validating, taking down walls, getting that cooperation of productivity and cooperation that we desperately need. We start shifting our thought processes to serving people and bringing our expectations in alignment. It'll take some of this angst, some of this impatience or insensitivity that might be happening with that measurement. Because if you have it, what you know is you're going to crush people. If you listen to it. So we step back from it, become aware. That's our first step. And then we start bringing our empathy into the equation. We start going over to goal-oriented. Start using our thought process constructively. And we can start to release this pressure. Organized. Many of you have this organized in orange. Now, it can go one of two ways, and you won't know unless you click on and listen to the measurement. Because it can go to what I call anal retentive, which is the toothpaste gets squeezed a certain way. Towels are folded a certain way. We do things a certain way. It's the only way. It's my way or the highway. We can start to get a little bit fixed on the way in which things are done. That's one option. On the other side, we really aren't that structured. We're a little bit more spontaneous. Kind of go with the flow. Kind of do what how it feels right. We don't want to be booked and scheduled every second of the day because it starts to bug us. So just take a look and say, which way am I? Because next 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about this discipline and structure. This happens to be in the tangible world. I'm doing a task. And there are rules, there's structure, there's policies, there's procedures. Can I see their value? Well, I may be so focused on them, there's absolutely a way, or I'm not focused on them, and I just am not that disciplined. Now, for some of you, you may not choose to be that disciplined in the way in which you do something. And you may at the same time have an organization that's depending on your leadership. It's probably important that one of your first investments you make when you get there and economically supported is a personal assistant who can handle the details. Because the details will need to get handled. I's dotted, T's crossed, structure. And we may not be structured, but this is something we can decide to be for a period of time. Because other people need it. They need our example. This is someone like, for an example, a salesperson. They go in and they do everything totally different. There's no structure. Whatever feels good. And they got a sales team watching this, and they're terribly confused by it. We're gonna want to bring more structure to the way we do things if that's the way the orange is reporting to you. Now, compliant, here we are doing a task, and we want to do it a certain way, and somebody says, no, that's against the rules. Can't do it that way. Do we then try to find a creative way to do it within the rules, or do we just say, that's ridiculous, and do it our own way anyway? Which way do we lean? If we're balanced, we're going to be more likely to see the benefit in the boundaries, the rules. Or are we just doing the way we want to? Because if this is orange, the risk is that we'll take risks that are unnecessary. We may get hurt, and we may get in an accident. We may cause challenges because we're pushing things beyond the boundaries that have been set. Now, if things are ridiculous, you can step back from that and see it from a common sense, practical basis. That rule doesn't make sense. But we're going to want to pay attention to rules. If the speed limit is 65, we don't want to always be driving around at 95. That's not practical. It's actually quite dangerous, especially if we're doing it at night. We have a stretch on the way to the cabin from Logan up to the cabin. There's about a 15-mile stretch where they're cattle grazing all the time. And one night I was going along about 75 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. The road was clear. It seemed like it makes sense. All of a sudden I saw some headlights up above, kind of twisted in a weird direction. And I slowed down, and as I got closer, is a Ford F3 pickup truck. It had hit one of those cows, steer, and had taken the front wheel out from underneath the right side of the car, the truck. I mean, an F-350 pickup truck, the axle and tire were underneath the car. It actually bent the front totally under, and the cow was sitting on the side of the road, dead as a doornail. And they had help on the way, and we stopped, made sure everybody was okay. They were in their hunting gear. It's in the fall that this happens. Well, it's changed the way I drive that stretch of road at night. That speed limit makes sense. It would, even though I might be in a hurry, even though I would like to get there sooner, I'm excited to finally get there to relax for a weekend, I'm not going to go faster than 55 miles an hour, because at 55 with brights on, I can just about make, I'm not running a risk of hurting anyone. That would be a rule, for an example. Can we be compliant? Can we comply to the rules and regulations? If we're orange, we're going to become aware of this and go, how often am I stretching it, the boundaries? How often am I stretching the envelope, they often call it? Now, proactive. Is a measurement that says, okay, I'm doing this task, I'm working, and I run into something that's in my way. I need a certain wrench and I can't find it. I'm missing a bolt that I need. There's a misspelling in the misspelling in the brochure I want to use. How do I feel about these things when they show up? There's tasks on my desk that need to be done. So here I am, I'm in the world of doing, and this one's over here screaming at me. Am I likely to be proactive, which means take it on in the moment. Go find the screw, find a new wrench. Do whatever's necessary to get the task done. Or am I going to be procrastinating? I'll put that one off till another time. That's one risk. The other side of the risk is I might get paralyzed by it. I can't do anything. It's a typo on the brochure. How am I supposed to present this to someone? This is going to be embarrassing for them to see. Just ask yourself, when you're doing tasks, look at this measurement in your assessment and ask, is this one out of balance? And how often does it show up and cause me to procrastinate when I listen to it? And I take this mountain and I turn it into a molehill, and I justify putting it off till the next day. The next day is already crazy busy, and now we're just piling stuff on top of it. What's happening? And the last is protective. Protective. This is an important measurement. What we're asking in this measurement is, when I spend the time to build something, and I put all this effort and energy into it, or to buy something, do I maintain it properly? Do I protect it against premature destruction? Go take a look at your car. The house, the lawnmower. When was the last time you changed the oil? If this is orange or red, just take a look at it and ask yourself, I build a business. I spend all this time finding these people. Then all of a sudden I get irritated and frustrated and worn out, and I allow it to fall apart. Just take a look at this. If it's green, it might be bordering on orange. If it's orange, you want to take a look at this one. These are all the measurements of the thought processes that show up when we're actually doing this task. Passion, the quality with which I'm going to do it, and the timeliness, whether it's going to be in an organized and structured way, how am I going to respond to things that get in the way in terms of rules, things that get in the way in terms of typos, things that are missing, things. And lastly, will I protect what I build? This is the place we want to live in. Called the now. This is where we actually do the tangible, physical creation of our dreams. I've said it numerous times in this radio interview I was just on. We were talking about this, that no one gets to skip the work. No one. It's not one of the options. The options we have are really simple. Do I go do this passion-driven? Or do I do work that's boring, mundane, repetitious, and hard? And it all boils down to the mental creation. That's why we were there last 2 weeks ago. What do I do when I'm here? Am I into obligation? Am I into perfection? Am I using my fantasy to engage, or my vivid visualization to engage in fantasy? All of those things will have an impact of how I show up in the here and now. So this conversation with Catherine 2 weeks ago, I'm in the here and now. I'm here. Most of the time, I may spend my time in my head, and most of us do. The purpose for this training, for this assessment, the work we do in coaching, for the principles, practices, processes, are to get us present in the now so that we're conscious when that moment occurs. And all of a sudden, I can feel this impatience coming up, this insensitivity. I'm, good grief, do I have to do everything myself? I can start to feel this boiling up. And I stop and I back up from it. And I say, whoa, well, I've got an expectation of how this should be. Instead of applying an expectation, let me use some common sense, some practical judgment. It's going to take the better part of this afternoon to get that done. If I've got everybody involved, so let me pull them together. Let me rally them. Let me intrinsically validate them. Let me get their cooperation and productivity, and we'll do the very best we possibly can between now and the end of the day. And we enjoy the journey. We enjoy the process. We heard it. And next time we're faced with a task and we start to get impatient, a little insensitive, there's our pivotal moment. We're aware. We're awake. We can feel it. We step back from it. Do the same thing again. Next time it shows up. These are pesky thought processes. Why want to go away? Because it's a deeply ingrained habit to think that way. I start to feel insensitive, impatient. I pull back. I make a different choice. Engage the people. We create as much as we can. We have a great time doing it. It's a wonderful experience. Everybody feels valued and validated. Next time. If I will keep repeating this process, I'm actually creating a new neural pathway in the brain. And we're told that when that new neural pathway becomes a new habit, in other words, that's the way it fires, the brain will actually prune off the old one. It's pruned off, cut off. It's gone. Now, some of these are deeply ingrained, and they're really pesky. But no, the first step is I'm conscious, for an example, second measurement, I'm getting insensitive, impatient, I become conscious, and I choose differently. Because if I don't, I am, as Og said, surrendering my free will to this habit and the past deeds of my life. When I get angry with people and frustrated and impatient, I've already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. Not just to imprison me based on the results, but to make that negative habit deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper so it becomes harder and harder and harder to override. That's really imprisoning our future. So let us be conscious in that pivotal moment. Make that shift. I wrote in the book that this is the only time we get to touch the timeline of our life. This is it. Right now. It's now. 10 minutes from now, still now. 2 hours from now, still now. So here we are in the now together. Together. What can I do to serve you tonight? What are you dealing with right now in your current life in the now? You could share and see if I can do whatever I possibly can to serve you. This is your turn. And if on mute, you might need to come off of mute. somebody come off of mute and just say hi to me?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. We're here.
Good. How can I serve you?
Dave, this is Scott. We spent quite a bit of time this afternoon. I'm drawing a blank on exactly on this one.
Well, thank you. We kind of covered the world this afternoon, so you're in pretty good shape. That was a great conversation. Thank you.
Good. Good meeting.
Anyone else this evening? Would it serve anybody to go back and review power sessions tonight? Is there anyone who doesn't know how to do a power session who would like me to review that?
Dave, it's been a long time since I've done that. I think it would be great to go back and review that as far as the specific steps, and like to kind of recommit that for a week and see what I can accomplish. I think after going through that once, it should be real beneficial to go back and recommit and do that again.
Okay. Let's go through it then.
If you could also define what a power session is, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. 2003. I'm sitting in my living room on a Sunday night, and I'm reading scroll number 4, Nature's Greatest Miracle. I'm reflecting on being totally present. Hawk says, I'll concentrate my energy at the task at hand, and it'll help me forget all else. He talks about being totally present when he's in business, because if he thinks about his family, it'll cloud his judgment. Thoughts? If he's at home with his family, starts thinking about business, it'll dampen his love, because he's not present with them. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's me. That's really me. How do I solve this problem? How do I get to a point that I can be fully present in the now, wherever I am, and not just always in my mind? That's a real challenge for me. And I was pondering possibilities, and I had a mental rehearsal. I got an inspired idea, clear as a bell. And I got excited about doing it. Now, the challenge with this concept, what I'm about to share with you, is that this was my idea. So it ignited my passion. Before I explain to you the process and what it means, let me ask you a question. Are you concerned about the fact that you spend so much time in your heads that you're not as productive as you need to be to create your dreams? When you're with family, how often are you texting, answering emails, thinking about a problem at work or something you want to do or a person you'd like to talk to? How often are you at work thinking about a teenager or your spouse or frustration or companion or whatever it might be? How often are you there? And would it serve you? Because I want to give this to you tonight as just a template so that you can go do your own mental rehearsal and say, I would like to engage in life and embrace principles and connect and serve and create value everywhere I go and contribute to the world. I must be present in the now to do that. I want to do that. And see if you can get an inspired idea that will assist you. I'll share mine with you. It's in my inspired idea. I saw myself getting up the next morning and reading Scroll 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. A scroll which I've grown to feel is not about, I'm going to die, so I'm going to live this day differently. I'm not going to go coach if I'm dying. If this is my last day, I'm going to spend it with Ramona. But it's the concept that at 12 midnight tonight, today dies. It dies. I'm still here, but what did I do with it? Did I seal up this container of life so that a drop did not spill upon the sand? Did I spend any time mourning yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart? Did I throw good today after bad? Did I worry about the future? Did I torment myself over things that may never come to pass and rob myself of actually doing something about it today so it wouldn't happen? Just ponder that, because that's what that scroll means to me. It's such a, it's my favorite scroll, just so you know, scroll five. Just resonates. I saw myself reading that. When I read that scroll in the morning, I am so grounded. Wow. Covers everything. Then I saw myself picking three times during the day. I didn't know why three, just that's what I saw. Saw three times during the day when I would be totally present, where I would bring all of me. I would prepare with mental rehearsal. I would execute present in the now. I would listen for doors. I would step into people's worlds. I would take down walls of resistance. I would create connection. I would have my mind open to possibilities. I would be noticing and aware of everyone around me. In short, I would bring all of my natural power to that session. That's why I called it a power session. I'm not partially there. I'm not kind of paying attention. I'm totally present, totally paying attention, totally bringing all of my gifts and talents to that moment. About an hour in length. Power session. Saw myself picking three of those. Then I saw myself preparing. I didn't have the words mental rehearsal in 2003. That would come later. But that's what I was doing. I was preparing mentally for that event. And then executing the power session. Bam! Really paying attention. Then about midday, I saw myself reading scroll 10. Another scroll that I love. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. I love what he talks about this. Walk where the failure fears to walk. I'll work when the failure seeks rest. I'll talk when the failure remains silent. I'll call on 10 who will buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on 1. I'll say this done before the failure says it's too late. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command and obey my own command. I will act now. What a great scroll to read midday. It takes 5 minutes. Listen to it or read it, and all of a sudden, I'm back on fire again. I'm present. Then you do the next power session, which is I'm bringing all of my talent. I'm totally present, completely there with someone. Or a task. It's amazing what you can do in an hour when you just come unleashed. Then you do the third one. That's what I saw myself doing. And I'm pondering, what do I do after that? Oddly, in my mental rehearsal, I saw myself reading scroll 7. That's what I needed. Laugh at the world. Man's most comical when he can't laugh at himself. Putting everything in proper perspective. And then I saw myself journaling. What happened during those three power sessions? What happened because I chose to be present? What did I see that I might not have seen otherwise? What did I say that I might not have said otherwise? What happened that might not have happened otherwise? Write that down in a journal. Power session journal. Boom. Then go sleep like a baby. My experience was that it wasn't too long into the process, days-wise, that I was having this very spiritual experience at the end of the day. Ramona and I pray together morning and night. And so at night, it's my turn. I'm the voice at night. And we kneeled down to pray one night. And the words flowed out of me. I have done all that I can do. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? And I must tell you, I felt it resonate with heaven. Because I had done that. I knew God knew, and I knew he knew, and I knew. And I went to sleep. Yesterday, last evening, I had an experience like this. You do more work while I sleep than I can ever get done in the day. When we're totally focused on serving someone, totally present with them, totally present. It's a power session. Now, what I've discovered, it was hard toward the first 7 days. The second week, you know, I failed. And I didn't always do it. Because it was like when I start an exercise program and I drink 3 shakes a day and I run 5 miles and I can't get out of bed the next day. Because I'm going to run the Olympics, you know. First day out. That's a power session, the way I just described them to you. I had a lot of people say, can I do more than 3? And I just chuckle. Not because it's, I'm not trying to insult them. I'm just going, whoa, just try 3 and see what it's like. Whoa. Because I've only had 10 clients who could do that the first week. Out of 3,500, only 10 who could do it, I described. And the only reason why I was able to is because it was my vision. It ignited my passion, and that passion drove my actions. So back to where we started this conversation. Do you have a need to be more present in the now? Would it serve you? That when you're home, you're really home. When you're at work, you're really there. When you're meeting with someone, you're truly listening. Would it serve you? What would that do to your life if you could do that? Well, if that's important, then mentally rehearse how you could do that. You see what came to me, what might come to you. Maybe you need to read scroll 2 in the morning. Maybe you need to read the same scroll 3 times a day. Maybe you need to focus on 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. Maybe you need to do 5. I don't, but make it yours. What could get you excited about getting up in the morning? I had one client who said, I discovered that I would rather do my planning the night before. And I said, great. What does that do for you? It just gets me excited. And I go to sleep and I wake up determined to go do that. I said, great, then do it that way. This isn't about the way to do a power session. It's just saying, have them. Do this in your life if it's important to you. If it would serve you, if it would improve your relationships and build your business. Because this is one of the biggest shifts we'll make. If you go through this entire coaching program, letting go of focus on self, so we're focused on others, intrinsic validation, we stop fantasizing and catastrophizing, we take all that energy and we spend it in mental rehearsal. An inspiration, exploration, planning, and goal setting. And we become increasingly more present in the now. You're going to rock your world. When James Allen said, let a man radically alter his thoughts, and he'll be astonished at the rapid transformation it will affect in the material conditions of his life. Those three areas, surrendering, that focus on me to focus on others. I'm not going to chase money anymore because it just runs. I'm going to serve others and help solve their problems and money flows. I'm not going to fantasize about fantasy Ferraris and fantasy houses and fantasies being out of debt. I'm actually going to catch the vision that ignites my passion, and then I'm going to do the work that leads up to it and actually create it. I'm going to be in present in the now doing that. I'm going to know why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Everything I do has a purpose. Working hard doesn't make sense unless we're pushing our dreams one step closer to fruition. We want to be on purpose. And that's what this process is about. Find your way, whatever that looks like. There's no wrong way to do this, so long as the outcome is you're more present and you get to experience what it feels like to be present. You'll find a couple things happening. One, it'll start to heal your self-esteem. because you'll be spending time with your true self. So this is what worries me in the workplace when people hold back, oh, that's above my pay grade, or, oh, they don't pay me enough to do that. So they hold back and they don't maximize their gifts, so they get to spend their time with their unhealthy habits of thinking instead of with their true self. When we're in that power session, we are being closer to who we really are than at any other time. Wow, that's who we are. It's powerful. That's one. Two, we know that when we do this, fully maximize our gifts, present in the now, we're given more gifts. That's a true principle. And lastly, people are put on our path who we can serve and who can serve us. Rarely a week goes by that I don't step back and go, wow, isn't that magnificent? That person was put in my life yesterday. Where did that come from? When you're fully maximizing your gifts, those things are just part of the process. And who couldn't use the miracle of somebody being put on our path who can serve us or who we can serve? This is how we speed up creation to its fastest possible pace. We're focused on people. We're using our mind constructively to get inspired ideas that ignite our passion. And then we're bringing that passion into the now and doing these power sessions. These come unbolted, unleashed, turn everything loose sessions, and to see what we can create. Some of you have done this cleaning a garage or a house or just taking on a task, just pouring it in. It's amazing what you can do. That's a power session. Does that raise any questions, thoughts, ideas? Scott, did that help you? Is there anything I'm missing that you would like me to share?
It helps a great deal. I think one of the struggles that I've had here is I work out of my home, and oftentimes it becomes challenging to separate, you know, doing little home things, you know, getting kind of tugged into little things that could be done in the home as opposed to staying physically in the office. And I'm trying to figure out a way that I can, methodically it's a real temptation for me here. I'm just trying to figure out a way that I can mentally put myself in that place so that I, alleviate a lot of that. And I think it would make a huge difference in what I can accomplish in a day.
Yeah, because if you don't have a plan and you don't have a power session and you're not passionate about, excited about what you're going to do, we are going to find all kinds of other things to do. I mean, it's inevitable.
Right.
And you also get to give yourself permission to do those other things when you're finished with your power session. Okay, I did my power session. That was incredible. Now I can go pull some weeds or play around or paint that or work on this. My next power session's at 2 o'clock. And while I'm doing some of those things, I'll be mentally rehearsing what I'm going to do at the next power session. That's the beautiful thing of working at your home. It gives you the freedom to choose when you work, not whether you work.
I think combining mental rehearsal, mental creation with this has been really beneficial for me, and it just helps me really focus and stay on track. By the time I'm back and ready to go on the next one, I'm kind of excited, and that's something that's been missing a long time. And so I think, for me, that's an important part of it as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And for all of you on the phone, Scott came up to the cabin with several other new coaches to be trained on reading the assessment. He's going through our coach training, and he's the star of the class. So it's great to have you on these calls. I mean, the evidence that he's learning these materials, and he's still coming to the Tuesday nights. Isn't that awesome? Because all he wants to do is be the very best coach he can be. That's why we're meeting this afternoon, because, yes.
This is Bud Whitehouse.
Hi, Bud. We didn't connect very well last week with my crazy schedule, did we?
No. Susie's back now. As a matter of fact, she's totally jet-lagged and asleep right now.
Well, tell her there will be another convention, and I'll still be here. So.
Oh yeah. For me, on physical creation, it's all green.
Yes.
And the little note says, occasionally your thoughts may attempt to distract you. That's a constant. That's not an occasional. That's a constant. As a matter of fact, I have to have an office because if I worked out of the house, my commute would be way too short.
Yeah.
So when they're all like that, is it just a matter of overcoming it with the power session?
Let me take you one other place first. The greatest risk you have with all of your physical creation measurements balanced is the conflict in your own soul between an absolute knowing of this capacity and a resistance to doing it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You have that? It's a tremendous conflict inside your soul. It can really create some other issues in other areas of your assessment. You might look down at discipline and structure and see if there's any resistance to structure or authority. Look over in mental creation and see if there's any chance that you're using your thought processes to engage in something other than constructive thought, to get inspired ideas, to bring to this very fertile, well-balanced thought process. Because the point is this, should you come to physical creation, passion-driven, everything's firing on all cylinders. It's ready for you. It's just sitting there waiting for you to show up, passion-driven, and to execute. So go back to mental creation and go, what can I do? How can I create this? How will this serve? Am I going to make the choice to focus on other people and how many lives I can bless and start to set some goals, the kind that are visual, so that it ignites my passion? Because once your passion is ignited, you've got an army waiting there for you to make it happen. I guess, Bud, the other question would be this. When you finally shut off that noise and you jump in and do it, are you ever surprised how easy it is?
Yeah. Frequently.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Some people are surprised because they're finally overriding thought processes. You're going to be surprised because you finally embraced them. Oh, what a gift. You don't want to rob yourself of this one anymore. So just take a look over there in those, specifically in those two areas of mental creation and discipline and structure, and see what thought processes might be tying up your mind and keeping you from being present in the now.
Okay. Well,
you see anything? Have you seen anything?
Oh, yeah. Under discipline and structure, analytical is orange.
Mm-hmm.
Disciplined is green. The other is blue. Under mental creation, self-directed is orange, and honorable is green. The rest is blue.
A goal-oriented is blue?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So self-directed is orange.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you know what that measurement means when it's orange?
I have to say no.
Okay.
I assume it means not so much self-directed.
Well, it actually means that, well, self-direction, by its definition, means to act on my own moral authority. Choosing to do the next right thing for the right reason because I want to. I get to and I choose to. Now, imagine waking up in the morning at your profession and saying, I really want to do this. I want to. I get to. I choose to. I'm choosing to go do this. Now, instead of that, this thought process wants you to be in obligation. I have to. I should.
Wow.
I must. Even fear of consequences if I don't. You bring that dark cloud to those thought processes, and they're not going to be able to function.
Right.
So the dark cloud of obligation, even fear of consequences, the question might be, do you really love what you're doing? Or is it something you have to do, must do, should do? Because whatever it is, it's not unleashing this incredible capacity in physical creation. Now, take me to joy in the journey for a moment.
Okay.
What's happening?
Everything's green, but persistent and effective, they're orange.
Persistent and effective. Now, you've been so gracious by telling us your name and then taking us into your assessment. I want to be honoring of that. Persistent when it starts to turn orange. Go for it. Thank you. This is when I'm now doing. You got this over here on the left-hand side. Is about the thoughts I have while I'm doing a task. Joy in the journey is how am I feeling about me in the task? How am I feeling about me? What am I bringing to this physical creation that's so clear? It's a focus on money. I need to make more money. And it's my experience that when we focus on making money, the money runs. And we chase it runs. So
right.
The very focus on that is going to cause it to run, and all of a sudden I've got all the capacity over here to do the task. Clear as a bell. Perfect practical judgment. Common sense. But I'm preoccupied with the money aspect of it. That's one. And effective, my mind is seeing a different outcome. I'm in a frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. Busy, 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 busy. So instead of diving in and doing, I'm kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Busy, 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 focused on trying to figure out how to make more money instead of just unleashing the gift. You unleash the gift, you look up at your empathy scores, your people scores. You focus on serving people and using your practical judgment to execute. What's the chance you could do some incredible things? But you bring obligation, fear of consequences, have to, should, must, focused on trying to make more money and phonetic, non-goal-directed activity, that chicken with his head cut off. There's not a chance in Hades that physical creation is going to get unleashed. And the tragedy is that most people, when they come there, they finally unleash it. Now they got to deal with problems within it. There's nothing to deal with. We just got to get you there, bud. Get you there. And turn it loose. But you can feel the, but I got to make this. And, I got so many things going on. And obligation is kind of heavy. It's like strapping on a backpack full of bricks, you know, every morning. Because I don't really want to do this, but I have to do this. And I got to go to an office to do it. Because if I do it at home, I won't even do it at all. Do you feel the energy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go back to in the book and also in the studio, quality number two, mental creation. I want to get to, choose to. It's a choice. What is it about my life, my relationships, my career? It's such a burden that I'm not unleashing my gifts. It's a choice. It's time to make a different choice. Because you can't unleash it thinking the way you're currently thinking. At least when you surrender to those things. It's not who you are, bud. It's just, here's the risks of how you might show up. And if you show up that way, you won't get to that strength. That's a great question. Anybody learn something from that? Anybody have that clear section? Well, why? Well, if I'm so clear, why aren't I just doing? Well, what's stopping you from getting there? Because if you got there, look what you'd unleash. Oh, my goodness. Thanks, bud. Anything else you wanted to explore in that?
Me? No, that's good.
Yeah. We're about the same age, I think. It is absolutely critical for someone our age to be doing something for which we feel passion, no matter what lifestyle that leads us to. Because we have the natural challenges of physical realities that come with age. We are losing some of our capacity. We want to stay in great shape so we don't lose it as much, but we're not 30 anymore. Which means passion is like, it's the medicine we want to be taking every day. We don't want to be on all kinds of prescriptions. We want to be on the medicine called passion.
Right.
That's what will keep us moving. And the passion's missing, and self-direction is the number one cause for draining passion when it's in obligation. It's the number one cause. It'll suck it right out of you. And then you're left with older body without passion trying to do the work of a younger person. I speak to you as a contemporary. Yeah, that's a challenge. It's hard. It's hard. Okay, anyone else
Thanks
tonight that I can serve?
Very.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Wow, what happened to our hour? My goodness, that was fun. I can't begin to tell you how fun it is to have someone raise a question and be able to explore a little bit. We can just go so much deeper into places that I wouldn't even think of going without someone asking a question. So please, as we go through these next few sessions. Now again, next Tuesday, we won't be meeting. I've tried to figure everything in my power to do that otherwise, but it's just going to be with this particular speech that we're going to have that challenge. Otherwise, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be taking on discipline and structure. And Bud, you mentioned a red analytical. That red analytical is going to be constantly obsessively thinking. And it's going to sometimes be thinking so much that when we go to do, it really likes thinking. It likes thinking so much that it'll keep you from actually doing. Because we come up with an idea and we go to execute and it comes up with another one and another one and another one. Just have some fun with that one as you're listening to that noise from reading that section of the book about the House of Horrors. Everybody enjoy that piece. And I'm thinking of the scroll that we want to be studying, depending on what you do with your own power sessions. Incorporate scroll 9 if you can. What I know about scroll 9, Scott and I were talking about this afternoon with one of his associates, that when we read scroll 9 three times a day, we'll actually start hearing the words act now when we go to put something off. We go to procrastinate. Well, here, act now. Okay. Okay, leave me alone. I mean, we'll have that conversation with ourselves because these words just penetrate us. They speak to our soul, and our soul knows what we're supposed to do. We know. We really do know. We're in all kinds of avoidance, but really do know. Have some fun with Scroll 9 this week, next 2 weeks, in preparation for our next session. Well, we're ready to wrap up. Is there anyone in the background that was going, gosh, I wish I had said something or asked something? Just want to give you that opportunity before we wrap up. Okay, well, thanks, everyone. Have a great 2 weeks. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks on Tuesday night. Thanks, everyone. Good night. Come off
thanks,
of mute Dad. And just say goodbye. You're welcome, Scott. Thanks.
Thanks,
Bud. Thank you. Good night, everyone.